seriously popular.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What are you wearing?
What am I wearing?
What are you wearing on your bottom half?
That's none of your business.
Well, you know why? There is a reason for me asking, which I was thinking this morning when I was getting ready. It was a bit chaotic in this house. School run, etc. I was late in from Nottingham Forest last night, so I woke up feeling a bit weathered and a bit grumpy. And I suddenly realised about 5 minutes before we started that I still had my pyjamas on, or my pyjama bottoms on. Because we do this, this is a podcast that we do every Thursday from home. We do our Monday one together in a studio in London. And it suddenly struck me that you could just do this podcast wearing anything you wanted, really, on your bottom half. You could be naked, swimming trunks.
Yeah, I've got
pyjamas.
I've got my boxer shorts on. I don't have to show you that. I'm in a hotel room.
Have you actually?
In Glasgow. Yes, I have. Yeah, your boxer shorts. But
you see, I couldn't do that because I wouldn't feel professional enough. I've got to feel like I'm dressed for action.
What tickled me though is that you wear pyjamas.
we've had this conversation before. Of course, I wear pyjamas.
How many people actually wear pyjamas?
I think men of a certain age wear pyjamas, and you are of a certain age. So, especially where you live, you must get cold in the night. I mean, if you've got central heating in the farm.
Yeah.
You must get cold in the night in Norfolk.
We have heating in Norfolk.
Or do you just cuddle? Is that the way you do it? Just cuddle to keep warm. I wear pyjamas. I've got about 5 pairs. Pyjama bottoms and a T-shirt.
Which is your favourite pair?
I've got a super pair at the moment, orange and white stripes. I look like an extra from the Shawshank Redemption.
Anyway, I want to ask you something. Are you okay today? In a good mood?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I'm a bit down on sleep. Got back from Forest about 2 o'clock. A little bit down on sleep, but I'm okay.
The only reason I'm saying that is I saw on your Twitter feed last night that you'd thrown out a really angry tweet, really irate. I'll read it out to you, and then you can respond. Having an FA Cup draw with half the tie still to be played is just stupid, brainless, ignorant, embarrassing. Any other such words? Have you got any more words? Anything else you want to get off your chest?
I'm still annoyed about that. I'm still annoyed about that, and I know that deep down you will be too, because you're a football traditionalist like myself. Having an FA Cup draw when half of the fifth round games have not even been played is disgraceful. I mean, I don't want to sound like an angry old man, because there are bigger problems in the world, but it is a bit stupid. It's a bit stupid. It's obviously all for television, etc.
I agree with what you say, but I'm just not as angry as you are.
I was sitting at that. I'm not angry about it. I'm not angry about it because you know why? Because I'm immune. I'm a little bit immune to all that nonsense these days, because there's so much of it in football. So many, you know, we could go over them all, FA Cup semi-finals at Wembley, blah, blah, blah. Lots, you know, kickoff times, daft kickoff times. We know how it works. But that is particularly self-defeating. Is it not? And I know that you agree with me deep down. Anyway, one thing that has...
Yeah, but I'm not angry.
One thing that has cheered me this morning is that my daffodils are up. My daffodils are through, which always, you know... It always makes me smile when the first daffodil breaks into flower on the border at the front of my house, and they're out this morning. Although I do have... I do have a bit of an issue. Actually, now that we've mentioned it, some of the listeners might be able to help with this. So some of my daffodils have started to come up blind. Do you know what that means?
But they don't flower?
Yes, exactly. So they come through, but they don't flower. And what I want to know is when that happens, as annoying as it is that the end of that particular daffodil? Is that one just got to go, pull it out, start again? Or if you leave it in, cut it back for next spring, is there a chance it'll come up and flower next year? Or was it always going to be blind? So anyone, any gardeners out there?
If Monty Dom, was it Monty Dom?
Yeah, I normally ask my dad. Yeah. I normally ask my dad for this type of life advice, gardening advice, and he always has an answer, but he hasn't got an answer on this one. He doesn't really know. Doesn't really know. So there we go. Blind daffodils. What to do? Kill or give them another chance for next season. Now, something else that actually makes me cross. Well, not make me cross. Something on Twitter and on social media. Some people have this habit of going fun fact. They go fun fact. And then they state something that is a fact but isn't overly fun or fun fact.
But that's an opinion. That's your opinion. Go on then.
I've got a fun fact. My fun fact is that Bruno Fernandes, easy for me to say Bruno, I've got a speech impediment, a little bit of a speech impediment. Bruno Fernandes has never missed a game for Manchester United through injury. Now that's a fun fact. Given that he's often dismissed as a bit of a charlatan, never missed a game through injury.
That's impressive.
Is it though? I think that's quite. I was surprised by that. He's been at the club 3 or 4 years now.
I said that's impressive. I mean, you know, I'm not gonna get the kids in from the garden to tell them that. I don't think it's that. You know, it's good, but I mean, I'm not. It is impressive, but it's, you know, he's not been injured. Good for him.
Well, that's kind of the point. So, like I say, I was at Forest last night, and afterwards, Erik ten Hag was unusually vexed by something, and it was about some of the commentary that tends to surround Fernandes. First of all, he claimed that Forest had been kicking him all night yesterday, which I didn't really see myself, which welcomed to that opinion. But what was really annoyed him was that this people had been suggesting, particularly on social media, that Fernandes had gone down easily, I think, after a challenge in the Fulham game at the weekend.
And he's
went
a diver.
On a bit of a...
Bruno is a diver.
But he went... We've been there. Let's not go there again. At Ten Hag's point is that Fernandes has been played with an injury on Saturday, played with an injury last night, apparently, and said, and this is a quote, he has a very high pain threshold and shows leadership. And it did make me think, and it also made me chuckle. One thing I didn't think I would hear this season was somebody trying to paint Bruno Fernandes as some kind of warrior when essentially most of us have spent a couple of years thinking he's a very good player, but not a warrior.
Yeah, but, you know, obviously he's got a bit about him, hasn't he, Bruno? So, no, I mean, I don't know where you're sort of going with this.
I just thought it was amusing. I tell you what is interesting. And he's true. He is their best player. He played well last night at a time when there has been some commentary about how hard some Manchester United players are trying. Alan Shearer was tucking into Marcus Rashford again last night on commentary. I noticed. I didn't think Rashford was too bad myself. But at a time when there had been question marks over United players' commitment, you can't question Fernandes from that point of view. And I do sometimes wonder ahead of. What looks likely to be a very difficult Manchester derby for them on Sunday, where they would actually be without Bruno Fernandes.
I understand that. I mean, we've had the captaincy debate. Should he be a Manchester United captain? I don't think so. You know, I suppose the issue they have is, are there better candidates out there? But, you know, the stuff you say about him being committed, and I suppose, in many respects, having had a bit of time to think about that, a lot of players, when they have the slightest injury, use that as an excuse to pull out, and fair play for Bruno, you know, for sort of getting on with it. In that respect, he doesn't shirk responsibility, and I suppose that's a big thing. But you know, I don't think we should be getting too excited about that. I think that's what you'd expect from most players.
Not time to get the bunting out. And we'll throw this question at you. Just popped into my head. Apologies, I haven't pre-warned you on this one. Would he get in Man City's team?
Would he get in Manchester City's team? No.
Get on the bench, wouldn't he?
He'd get on the bench, wouldn't he? Yeah, but he wouldn't.
Because you probably couldn't say that about many United players.
What, on the bench? To get onto the bench?
No, you couldn't say that many Man United players would get anywhere near the Man City team. I think he would.
I mean, these debates always come up. You know, you think of the Manchester City, options in midfield, and you know, De Bruyne, Rodri, Silva, Foden. I don't think Bruno's better than any of those.
He's a really clever player, though. He's a really, really clever player, and he's a lovely passer.
Yep. But I'm not disputing that. I'm not. But you know, given a straight pick with the four players I've mentioned, I don't know. I mean, it's a debate to be had, and everybody has their own preference. And I'm not trying to, you know, dig Bruno out for that. But Manchester City, you know, they are absolutely elite. Bruno is an excellent footballer. You've made some, you know, really good points about him, but I don't think, you know, he'd get into that Manchester City midfield ahead of the players I've mentioned.
I think he's one of those, he'd get to the end of the season if he was at Manchester City and look back and realise that almost without noticing he'd played 20 games or he'd made 20 appearances kind of on and off the bench, the odd start, etc. Anyway, interesting thought, just one I had while we were chatting. Now, someone who is in that Manchester City team and will be in the team for the derby on Sunday is Kevin De Bruyne, who's back from injury. 32 now, De Bruyne. I can't believe that when I look at that this point. 32.
People get older.
Yeah, we do. And I know it. He's been at City for 9 years now. He said in the media this morning, he was interviewed after the Luton FA Cup destruction of Tuesday night, and he said this morning that he's been surprised at how good he has been having come back from that long-term hamstring injury. Knowing De Bruyne a little bit, I'd imagine he said that in a very modest way. Those quotes sounded...
Why is he so good? Why am I so good?
He said, why am I so successful? Why am I so modest? I think his point is that he was...
Do
out
you like that, Ian? Do you like that bit of self-praise? Are you...
I've always liked my heroes to be... To be talented and modest, I must admit. I've never liked... As a kid, I was never a huge fan of sports stars who, you know, I'd rather have Gower than Botham, for example. That's just one that pops into my head. You know, I'd rather have had a Gower than a Botham. Somebody did all this talk on the field and not so much.
Gower couldn't bowl.
You know what I'm saying, though, in terms of personalities. But then again, confidence, you can't buy it, can you? So if you're a Manchester City fan and you're hearing Kevin De Bruyne say that he's been surprised at how good he is since he came back from 6 months out, then that's music to your ears. I'm not certain.
In some ways, do you know what? At 32, I think he can pretty much say what he likes.
What were you like? Were you a serious...
Well, 32,
Serious question. Serious question. What were you like in terms of your self-confidence? Did you talk a good game and feel differently, or did you not feel a need to put on that front when you were playing?
When I was younger, I think I was absolutely full of it, self-confidence, which was really important, oblivious to anything, you know, from the outside. As I got older, I didn't really ever talk about myself, and when I performed well, blow my own trumpet. I always felt that was for other people to do. I always felt you and because, you know, we've laughed and joked about Kevin De Bruyne, why is he so good, and you know him saying that. I think you set yourself up, you can set yourself up for a fall, and you know, that's the biggest thing. Do your talking on the pitch, and in fairness to De Bruyne, he has.
Oh, absolutely. You've said to me before that you were an avid reader of everything that was written about you, which back in the day would have been in the newspaper.
All the nasty stuff from your lot.
No, you said that to me, though. You used to read everything. You used to like seeing yourself on the back page.
Yeah, and I used to love it, buying the newspapers, name up by, you know, back page headlines, and, you know, that used to make me feel good. But then I didn't like the opposite side.
When you were criticised?
When it's negative. So, I went from, absolutely loving the adulation to being a big baby. And you sort of need to be somewhere in between, don't you?
And did that develop as you get older? As you got older, or did you, always remain a bit of a big baby?
It developed because I didn't like the sort of negativity, and then I just thought, you know, I had a not great opinion about some of you lot and some of the writers.
You're a bit of a sulky.
I used to sort of nail you to everybody.
You're a bit of a sulky.
Hold that thought. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Now, Liverpool at Forest on Saturday. Forest, just looking at my notes, one win from 11 is their run at the moment. I didn't think they would improve when they sacked Cooper and hired Nuno, and they haven't. We've actually got a poll running on Spotify that we started on Monday in terms of who our listeners might think will go down if we presume that Sheffield United and Burnley will go. Who will go down with them? Everton, Nottingham Forest and Luton were the ones that we put up. It's changed a little bit since then because Everton have had a handful of their deducted Premier League points back, so all of a sudden they're looking a little bit safer. But even so, our poll, which is still running, it's still got 3 days to go, you can still vote in it on Spotify. Luton are the favourites at the moment on the poll with 42%, but Forest are not far behind with 38% of the vote, which I think indicates a little about how
they're carrying a greater goal threat, aren't they? They didn't score last night, but you know, I don't know how much attention you pay to stats, but they have in recent weeks they've carried a greater goal threat. So whether you want to deem that as improvement, whether you're looking at, you know, just straight on points with Cooper, points with Nuno,
he had a 1 year and Alanga and Origi all in his starting lineup last night, which I thought was relatively brave. I think Liverpool will have players back on Saturday. That seems to be the vibe, that Salah, Nunes and Szoboszlai may well be back. Certainly the two forwards I would expect to play. That will improve them hugely. Now, I want to ask you something here about Liverpool's schedule, forthcoming schedule. They're alive in four trophies, four competitions. Well, they've won one of them, Carabao Cup. So they're still alive in three others, which we know. I think that FA Cup draw, quarter final away at Manchester United, I think that is bad news for Liverpool, not just because it's a difficult game, but it's another emotional, energy-sapping game that they don't necessarily need. They've got Manchester City coming up in 10 days' time as well. But I want to ask you something. Going for four trophies or three more trophies, do you expect Liverpool to drive forwards on the back of adrenaline and emotion and motivation? Or will all the games, all the pressure, all the expectation catch up with them? And do they fall off a cliff? And I'm asking you particularly because you were in that situation with Celtic 20 years ago, the 2002-2003 season, when you lost a league. Sorry to remind you of it, but you lost a league on the very last day of the season by one goal. You lost in the final of the UEFA Cup. And I think you also lost the League Cup final that year. How does that feel when you get to the final furlong and you've got games thick and fast, the pressure, the emotion of trying to win everything that you play, does it serve you or does it harm you? Sorry, it's a very, very long-winded way of asking a simple question.
Yeah. It's a good question. It's not a great comparison as such because Liverpool have already won a trophy. No, but I know what you mean. I think it is pertinent with the number of games Liverpool have got, and Klopp it being his last season. But if you asked Celtic fans about that season, I think a lot of them would say that was a really memorable season, albeit we didn't win anything in the journey which we were on, how exciting it was, how good a football was. Essentially, you're right, we ended up with nothing. But actually at the time, none of the players were tired. And this is something we constantly hear. And it's a narrative. And I understand why people throw out this narrative and the questions, you know, will it all be too much, all these games? And we've seen managers, we've seen Klopp moan about the number of games, we've seen Pep moan about the number of games. But you have to think about the negative effect it would have if players start thinking they're tired. And if managers keep telling them they're tired and you're tired and you're tired, then maybe you start feeling it. But I didn't feel it with us in the 2003 season. We were just crashing through game after game. You know, we lost on the last day, the league. We lost by a goal on the last day, and there were, you know, many, many reasons why that was. And then, the UEFA final was a great journey. And then we, you know, ended up losing to Jose Mourinho's Porto in extra time. But we had plenty of energy. And I think Liverpool have shown that they've got that in abundance. And then you're chucking the young players and the way that they have been like a breath of fresh air and the support, everybody is believing. And then everybody's thinking, well, you've mentioned Salah coming back, Nunes coming back, Szoboszlai coming back, the big guns are back, we're still in three competitions. You just as a player, you're so pumped, the adrenaline is there, and that takes you through.
When you look back now, they must be the days of your lives. When you look back and think about that,
game after game, and you barely train, and it's on to the next one, and you know you're on a roll, and you have to, you just get caught up in it. You don't focus on anything else, but you can't if you think you're tired and you have the negative influences or I can't remember players around us in the squad at Celtic at that particular time who were, you know, rocking up and saying, well, we're knackered. It wasn't the case. It was bring on the next game. And I think Liverpool feel that way. And they're thinking, bring on the next game, whoever we've got available.
Before we finish, Tottenham at home to Palace on Sunday. We've not spoken about Tottenham and Ange Postecoglou for a while. And they're on a run of three wins out of seven. I think Brighton, Bournemouth and Brentford are the three teams have beaten in that run. Lost at home to Wolves recently. Just want to ask you very quickly, despite all the fuss about Postecoglou in Tottenham, despite the entertainment, despite the style of football, the fifth at the moment, 5 points behind Villa with a game in hand, if they didn't end this season in the Champions League positions, would that be it would be a disappointment. Would that be a failure for Postecoglou given the way they started?
Failure? Relative
to where they were when we, for example, when you and I went to see Ange for that interview back in October, November when they
failure,
were flying.
Failure, though. I mean, we started this podcast reading out your angry tweet, brainless, ignorant, embarrassing.
Not angry
one about
the
FA Cup draw. No, I know you're not angry, but failure is
well. What would
outrageous.
It be then? Apart from a big disappointment, what would it
where
be?
Where did Tottenham finish last season? So how are we viewing progress? I mean, seriously,
yeah.
And this is, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but the thing with Tottenham, I'm not angry about it. I'm not aggravated about it. But are we, maybe not us, but are people quick to forget what he took over, who he lost, where Tottenham finished last season, the brand of football which they were playing, and then all of a sudden people have become used to this brand of football, but then, you know, they're conceding goals on the counter, they're leaving themselves wide open. But this is what it is, and this is how Postecoglou plays, and putting all the things into the equation, I think Tottenham fans are really happy about where they are. But there's no doubt, and I thought this would happen next season, that there will be Tottenham fans who are saying, well, we've got to see games out better. We need to be more defensive-minded. That was always going to come, and there's inevitability about it. But it's what do you want? Do you want your boring Contes? Do you want your boring Mourinhos? Or do you want your Postecoglou who's just going to go for it?
I'm with you on it, but I do also think that in terms of the money that obviously Champions League brings, etc., I just think, and that's why I'm putting it out there, that if they did finish fifth and Villa were good to get the fourth place, or even Manchester United, who I suppose on the very fringes of it, I don't think it'll happen. Then I just wondered whether it would be a little bit like
progress,
Ian.
Serious point. Then, so you're saying so failure? Okay, failure
relative
would be
to where they were.
But you didn't say that.
No, of course they've made progress.
They have made progress. So how can
just wonder if it would feel? Just wonder if it would feel a little bit like one of those rounds of golf where you go out and play out your skin for the first 16 holes and then go 8-9 on 17 and 18 to kind of end up back where you normally are. I just wonder if it'll feel a little bit like.
I'm happy with an 8 and a 9.
Yeah, me too. It's just a question. That's all. We're not digging out big Postecoglou. They've had a great season. I just think that it'd be interesting to see how they go between now and the end of the season, because there's opportunity still.
Do you think Tottenham fans would think it's a failure?
Well, football fans always moan, Chris. So yeah, there will be some Tottenham fans who think that it's a failure. But I don't mean failure as in, has it not been a good season? Fifth position for Tottenham's a good season. I mean from where they were, the way it started, the plaudits they were getting. There's a big opportunity with United on their arse and Chelsea on their arse and Newcastle on their arse. There's an opportunity for someone to take that fourth place. And that opportunity may not be there next season, because of those, some of those clubs might return to eminence. That's all. And I'm just saying, if they don't make it, they would have missed out. Okay, well, there you go. There's a way to hook people into a podcast. Tottenham miss out, says Chris. Tottenham disappointed to miss out.
But that's, come on.
I'm glad you're not right.
You've got to look at everything as a whole.
I'm glad you're not writing my headlines.
Sack him. Sack him.
Glad you're not writing my headlines, mate. Anyway, how's the mouse? What's happening with the mouse? The mouse in the house.
For those who weren't listening
on Monday, Chris is on the road at the moment. He's been in Scotland for about a week and a half. And if you do happen to catch any of this podcast on our social clips on Twitter or Instagram or TikTok, you should be relieved to know that those curtains that are behind Chris at the moment are not his own. He is in a hotel. I think he does have better interior design options than that at home.
Apologies
in Norfolk.
To the Hilton Hotel in Glasgow.
Oh, not the Hilton. Oh, blimey, I've got a thing with the Hilton. might have to edit
that's
this.
That's all your points. That's all your points.
Exactly. There's my diamond membership down the gurgle. And they still haven't apologised for the trade charts, by the way. Anyway, let's go back. So people who weren't listening on Monday, in his absence, Chris's wife has found a mouse in the bedroom and rang him in a state of panic. Any progress? Any of the cats got at it yet?
Well, yeah, I mean, as far as I know, the cat's having a good time, because we normally don't let the cats upstairs. And I think the mouse is cornered. There's going to be a bit of a stakeout here.
For those who don't listen regularly, Chris has 8 cats. So if the cats don't win the battle against the mouse, then something is going wrong. And as we speak, I'm looking out my window and I can actually see my little cat, Humphrey, being driven off to the vet, where he's off to have his arthritis injections. Bless him. He's got arthritis in his, arthritis in his back legs, bless him. There we go.
So you could maybe pop along with him, little two for one.
That's a very, very good point. Right, okay, I think that's us done. Thanks for listening, everybody. Please remember to subscribe, whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Hit that subscribe button. It's really important. Let us know where you're listening from. And leave some comments in the show notes. And remember, the poll about who we think will go down along with Burnley and Sheffield United is still running on Spotify. So go there and vote for that. And please do let me know, what should I do about my daffodils?
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.